She has a pair of lucky underwear. Don't even get me started on her armpits.
Well,
yes.
But the woman who put the nail in the coffin in Tallahassee is this woman to my left, Claire Davidson. You hit a shot, and it really slammed the door shut on any momentum that Florida State had. So take me through that moment. And we had a panting phase two, question mark? You, and then she said, you have any similar experience? Welcome back to Softball Speakeasy Episode 7. We are here inside the Duke Softball Stadium in the team room, and we have a very special guest, one of the best players in the country, one of the best hitters in the country, Claire Davidson! Thanks for being here, Claire. But before we talk with Claire, if you're new here, my name is Rain Wilson, and I'm a former Duke softball player turned broadcaster.
And my name is Kelly Torres, current catcher on the Duke softball team.
Softball Speakeasy is a podcast that'll be giving you next level access into Duke's 2024 campaign. We'll be following storylines throughout the college softball season, and we'll aim to give you a behind the scenes look at what it takes to play softball at the Division I level. It's getting better every time. In this episode, we'll be discussing Duke taking down Florida State and Tallahassee for the first time in Duke softball history. Congratulations, ladies. That's amazing.
Thanks.
We'll dive into Claire's career and her battles through obstacles and adversity. We'll continue the Softballers Anonymous segment with a juicy story. And finally, we'll get to some listener questions for old Claire Davidson to my left. But let's get right into it. So, Duke takes down Florida State in Tallahassee, and our guest today, Claire Davidson, was a huge part of that. But before we dive right into the weekend, I want to introduce Claire a little bit to folks who might not know her. She's a Florida or Virginia native. What do you claim as your...
Honestly, it depends on the day, and it depends on who asks. I was born in Virginia, but my driver's license is Florida.
Got it. Okay, so Florida slash Virginia native. I'm a Virginia native, so we can claim that.
I'm a Florida native.
Perfect. Let's go. Perfect. And she can do it all, pitching, hitting. But this year, she has exploded as one of the most dangerous hitters in the ACC. Off the field, Claire is a wicked smart and kind human being, majoring in sociology with goals to travel the world. I was lucky enough to be your teammate for your freshman year, and it's been so amazing to follow you in your career. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And speaking of your amazing career, you probably had one of the best weekends of your career this past weekend. So I'm going to give a quick overview of the weekend and just then get your both of your overall thoughts on your weekend in Tallahassee. So game one, you end up winning that game 10-5. You homered early. You were the first one to throw the punch. Like, what was that like to homer early in Tallahassee?
It was awesome. Coming into the weekend, we hadn't beat FSU at home, and to come out and score in the top of the first was huge. A huge momentum shift just to start the game off.
Yeah, and you smacked that ball, too. But going into the bottom of the fifth, you all were up 10-0 with a chance to shut the door, run rule them at their place. You end up getting the win, but were you all a little bit disappointed leaving that game, or what was the end of that game? What did that feel like?
I think obviously when you're up 10-0 going into the fifth, you're like, okay, great, we can run roll. We can end this early. But they're not a team to just roll over and die. So they started throwing their own punches back, and it ended up being a lot closer than it was in the fifth. And they kind of carried that into the next day. But they're a good team, so they're not ever going to quit.
Yeah, and on that next day, they ended up winning that game 4-2. McKenna Reed came in, pitched really well. Their hitters were prepared early. And so leaving that game, knowing that they tied the series 1-1, what was sort of the message in the locker room, if you will?
I think we knew that we didn't play our best game, and we didn't adjust as quickly as we could have on game two. And we were just excited to get game three. We'd seen most of their pitchers except for Royalty. So we were like, we know what to expect. We know how they're going to throw us. And we just wanted to come out strong day three.
That's awesome. And you did just that. I want to focus a lot on game three because it was such a battle. It felt like you all had took what you learned from the first two games. They took what they learned. And it was back and forth, up until the very last inning. You all were up 5-3. You end up giving two runs up and you go into extras. Mm-hmm. But in extras... First and third, I want to talk about this straight off the bat. First and third, Jayla Wright is running. So were you all surprised? Because Jayla Wright is an amazing pitcher. Typically, pitchers don't run. And so were you all surprised by that move, or had Coach Young done that in practice, or what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the last person I was expecting to come off the bench, especially in that moment. She's literally pitching, and I am just like, what if she gets hurt? What if she slides? What if she, you know, arm comes out of the socket. Like, what are we doing here? But at the end of the day, at practice, she runs every single day. And mm-hmm. she is one of the fastest right. people on our team.
By far.
By far.
Right. Yeah, she had a ton of speed. And like that, even that wasn't as surprising to me as the first and third play and how it kind of turned out.
Yeah, and yeah. G. Yeah, G is no, also G. not the fastest person to be in that position no, too. Like no. the two craziest people on the team to be in that moment.
Yeah, and so to break that down for listeners and viewers out there, first and third came about because Frankie got on in the eighth inning mm-hmm. and then Jayla went in to run for her.
Yeah, so if they had put Aaliyah could have also ran, but if they switched that out, Frankie was out for the entire game. Right. So since Jayla was the flex, she was able to come in and out.
Exactly. So, yeah, Jaylee goes in because she's fast. She ends up getting around to third after G bunts.
Yes.
So, Giselle Tapia, amazing player, amazing bat to ball skills. Not your typical bunter, no. I would say. No, and at definitely all. Not your typical base runner. So, first and third with G on first and Jayla, who doesn't get a ton of game time on the bases, and they pull off the double steal to score. Yeah. What was that like?
It was so fun watching. I was like going to get my helmet on to get ready to hit, and I saw it unfolding, and I literally had to put my stuff down. I walked to the edge of the dugout to watch it happen because I was just like, we practice it a lot, the runner at first just not going away, running back and forth, but it doesn't always work out. And I think we did the play earlier in the weekend, and we just ended up back at first and third.
Right.
G just kept going and made the pitcher try and figure out what to do, and it paid off.
Right, and that's a whole other aspect to it. If young players are watching or travel coaches or any coaches, the play was that G was running to first and immediately tried to take second. So there wasn't like the next pitch she went and just created chaos. But to create chaos with two folks that maybe aren't your, like if D and Anna were on base or Kelly or you, like if that combo had been on base, that play makes a ton of sense. But they pulled it off. And in the dugout, like watching it as a viewer, the dugout was like, oh my God.
I know. It was crazy. I was like,
it was so exciting.
Time.
So that gives you all the lead in the top of the eighth.
Yes.
But the woman who put the nail in the coffin in Tallahassee is this woman to my left, Claire Davidson. You hit a shot, and it really slammed the door shut on any momentum that Florida State had. So take me through that moment.
Well, I was 0-3 on the day. I had been trying to do a little bit too much, and I knew in that spot after Anna got the hit to score G, I was like, okay, all we have to do is keep it rolling, just a little single here. It was a little bit longer than a single, but it did the trick.
That was amazing. I mean, I even saw Kelly, your reaction in the dugout after Claire was rounding the base, and everyone was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, because she's unreal.
Unreal.
Claire is unreal. Like, we were talking, I think it was Amina and I, and we're just like, what is Claire eating? Because we practice day in and day out, and then here comes Claire, you know, hey guys, like all smiley, giggly, and just like, hits one so far and Oppo too. And it just amazes me of the player you've become, especially in this last year. I love it.
Oh, thanks.
What an amazing moment for you all and for the program, because it's such a big, like they've been the giant in the ACC. We'd never won there. And for you all to do it was absolutely incredible. So take me through what the post-game huddle was like and the way home.
Oh, it was pure excitement. Coach was so happy. She had a conversation with us before the game and was basically saying like, this is our season. We've done a lot so far, but this game is the one to prove that we are legit to win the series. I think that was the first time that they'd lost a series at home in like 12 years.
I think it was 12 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah. And the first time they dropped an ACC series in four years or something like that. So very impressive stuff to go down there. And I think it was their alumni weekend. Is that right?
It was. Yeah. Team 31 was in the stands.
Dang. Yeah. So congratulations to you too. That is incredible and amazing. And to go off that too, of what Coach said about proving yourself, I think that's spot on, because of course, like, you all have crushed many teams, only the one loss to Oklahoma, now two losses to Florida State. But there's a lot of question about strength of schedule. There's a lot of questions about this, about that. And that was a huge moment. So mic bump to that.
Nice.
But Claire, I want to zoom you out a little bit and have you speak on that moment and that weekend from the perspective of overall for your entire career. For you to be the one to throw the first punch on Friday and then to shut the door and throw the knockout punch on Sunday, knowing what you've gone through in the adversity and the obstacles and the things that you've battled to be in this position now, what does this like kind of moment feel like for you?
It means so much to me, actually. Looking back, kind of a full circle moment, my freshman year at FSU, was probably the exact opposite of what happened this weekend. I went in to pitch. I got the start one day. I faced four batters. I didn't get a single one out, and I got pulled. Well, I went to left field, but it wasn't great. And to be able to look back on that and see how far I've come, being able to just have fun and enjoy the moment and not put too much pressure on anything is so nice to see looking back at freshman me.
Yeah. And on the note of pitching and hitting, we talked a little bit before the podcast about how you're a hitter. Is there any part of you that misses pitching? And if that is or isn't true, how does it feel now to be just focused on hitting?
There is a part of me that does miss pitching. I did it for 12 years. So to just kind of not have it at all is a little weird. I've been honestly thinking about just throwing a bullpen for fun mm-hmm. in the next few weeks. But it is nice to only have to worry about one thing, to not worry about getting pulled from practice to go throw a bullpen. I get all the reps in the outfield and hitting, and it's been fun to just focus on that.
Yeah, and so for young players out there that are pitching and hitting right now, can you just explain how difficult that is to maintain at the college level and just what that's like?
It's definitely a big time commitment. Obviously, you have to pitch pretty much four times a week, maybe more. And if you need a lot of reps hitting, it just involves a lot of extra time. So if you enjoy doing both of them, I completely recommend continuing to do it because I've loved being able to do both. And it kind of, they complement each other nicely. If you're not having the best day pitching, you can still hit, or the opposite. But it also is nice at the end of the day to be able to focus on one thing, ending my senior season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are great at both of them. I think even now, if you had to go in, you'd still dial it up. A nasty mm-hmm. curveball, amazing changeup. So many things I could say about how you are as a pitcher. But as a hitter, you just look so dialed in. But I want to dig into a little bit of your process as a hitter. A lot of hitters are analytical. They go in with a specific game plan. Can you just describe your process as a hitter?
Well, my process is pretty much the opposite of that. me and Kelly talked about it a lot going into the last couple games. We were just okay, just go up there and think, have fun. I don't know if anyone's watched Ted Lasso, but we watched it all of last year. And
Softball is life.
That's what we say in the box sometimes because, sometimes you're not having the best day, but if you just remind yourself why you're here, you've put in the work, the mechanics are there. I know that there's generally nothing wrong with my mechanics and what I do work. So if I just think about one thing, it's to have fun and compete.
That's amazing. So even if you're facing a pitcher like Nyjah Kennedy or some of these other top arms in the country where they have that one pitch that's really dominant, do you go in with a mindset to attack that pitch or do you really just see it hit it?
I really just see it hit it. I think on Saturday going in with McKenna Reed with upspin in the on deck circle, I was okay, commit to getting to the top of the ball, that sort of thing.
Right.
But once I get in the box, I'm okay, see a pitch and hit it. Because if I think about anything else, mechanics or what she's going to throw, then I'm not able to see it well at all.
So. Right. And I think that's so huge because I think in the college game, as players are coming up, we think we have to overcomplicate things or that you need to be perfect at the mechanics and all of it because you have this access to so much information in college and it could be overwhelming. So what a great example of someone who just simplifies the game. It's really hard to do, but you obviously do it well. And is that something that you've learned this year? Is that something you've learned throughout your career? And off of that, what would you go back and tell your freshman self?
I think it's definitely something that I've bought into the last couple months or so. Freshman year me thought that the only way I was going to be able to hit well was if my mechanics were perfect. Mm-hmm. I remember my first hitting individual in freshman fall. I had a full sheet of paper of everything that was possibly wrong with my swing. And I thought that I had to fix every single one of them to become a good hitter. But then if I just thought back to travel ball and the success I had in high school and just the success even looking back now, it wasn't all about mechanics. Sure, there are some things that can be fixed, but for the most part, if you just compete and want to hit and enjoy it, good things will happen.
Absolutely. And so, Kelly, I want to ask you too, what would you go back and tell your freshman self?
I think what she mentioned earlier, Claire, about just having fun and this is why you play the game is something I'd go back and say because, the results get so big and that's all you kind of chase at some point. And just to remember, hey, you play this for fun. You play this with your friends and if you just go up there and think, have fun, odds are your results and the things that you're worried about so much are going to be better just by thinking, have fun.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. 100%. But I want to jump back, Claire, a little bit and just quickly talk about your recruiting journey and your experience of coming to Duke. So could you provide us a little bit of a story about why you chose Duke and how you chose Duke?
Yeah. When I was in eighth grade, actually, I got invited to the Auburn camp. And I went there. I loved it. And in the fall of my freshman year of high school, I committed to Auburn, actually. I had gone to camps at Duke, actually, because one of my coaches knew Coach Young. And I went to a camp on the baseball field. We did hot yoga in their batting cages. And it was, I liked the school, but I was committed already, so I didn't think much of it. And then the coaching change happened at Auburn, I think midway through my sophomore year. I decided to stay, but as I started going later in high school and realizing, like, okay, my test scores are pretty good, I did well on the SAT, that sort of thing, I was like, okay, I could probably look a little bit higher academically.
So you end up choosing Duke based on academics. Mm-hmm. Was there a part of you too that saw a potential future, what this program could look like? Like, did you expect to, you know, be competing to go to the Women's College World Series when you committed?
When I committed, no, actually. It was one of those conversations where it's like, okay, you can go to a school that's been a World Series team and have the potential to just be one of those players that makes it to the World Series, or you can go to a school that's brand new. You can set records, or at least help set records, and hopefully like have much more of an impact on the whole team's history. And then I got here and the team was amazing. And we had people like you coming back and raising the standard. I think obviously when we got here, we were like, okay, this team's actually like really good. Yeah. I think Kelly was in the same boat, committing for academics and to play Power Five, but not necessarily
to be a top 10 team. Right, right. Well, I mean, you all came in the perfect time. Like, it was awesome, awesome timing. But I also think there, it's not complete coincidence that your class is now in the position that you are. You both have been teammates, and that's a special bond to come in as freshmen and to grow together as women. And so I want to dive into the differences and the similarities between you two right now with Claire or Kelly. So who has the cleaner locker?
Me, easily.
Claire. Easily. Who is the bigger nerd?
Claire. Me. She reads like 10 books a week.
Okay, so this is pretty easy. Who is more superstitious?
Probably Claire.
Probably me.
What does that entail for you?
For me, it could entail anything. The biggest thing is my hair. It really could be. If I do one thing, like put my batting gloves on right and then left, I actually do that every single time. If I put the left one on first, it's a problem. If my elbow guard is on last, it's a problem. If my hair changes, the only time I had bubbles this weekend because I'd hit bad for the week before.
I like that. Change it up. Yeah.
But the braid part at the top, that part doesn't change.
Never changes.
Never changes.
Yeah. So going off superstition, you mentioned your hair, but what's the most unusual superstition you've ever seen a teammate or opponent do before a game?
Opponent, I would say the girl from George Mason last year that licked her bat.
Oh my gosh. That was so strange.
But people that I know, you, she has a pair of lucky underwear. And don't even get me started on her armpits.
Well, they are now shaved because we lost. The thing with my armpits is once we start winning, the winning power stays. Mm-hmm. And I do that for the team, not for myself. So
completely selfless.
Yeah. And then the lucky underwear. So I hit my first home run in them. And then
how long ago?
I was in eighth grade. And I haven't changed. I haven't really. I've been 5'4". 145 pretty much since then. And then I hit two home runs off Montana Fouts in them.
I threw
the runners out. That was the day I wore the second day of FSU in those underwear. So you can say all you want about their Wonder Woman, and they gave me powers. What can I say?
Who am I to judge?
Yeah. No, and then you got them in eighth grade. So what is that, like?
8 years, 9 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
Old?
I think we should hang them up after this year.
I think you should put them in your locker. Yeah. And just leave them there for the freshmen to come in.
Hang them off the bamboo shoot.
Yes.
So you both are superstitious. You both are seniors. Grew up in this program together, but that was not the first time that you all had met each other. In fact, you'd faced each other in high school. So tell us a story about the Florida rivalry of you two facing each other in high school.
Well, my team, American Heritage, we're from Plantation, Florida. It's south. And we drove up to Claire's High School because they were like the one of the best in the state. We'll get to
that. The country.
The country. And we haven't met, but I'm like, oh, this girl's coming into Duke with me. Is she good? Like, that's kind of like the vibe going in. So first at bat, I thought I went over. I was low-key pimping it.
Off the wall.
Double, but it was close.
Okay.
It was close.
At second, it was close or close to being a home run?
No. Close to being a home run. Oh, okay. I was holding my breath.
Yeah.
Got it.
But then second at bat, jam.
Jam shot.
So 1-1.
Okay.
And then I don't even remember the third at bat.
I don't even know if there was one because we run rolled.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It was like 15-0.
So you face each other as seniors in high school and then you come in as freshmen. And yeah. I know me and my freshman teammates, like, although I transferred, we're still close. We still share stories of like, wow, that was crazy. We were learning so much. We were scared. Do you two have any memories or like funny stories about your freshman year together?
We have so many. We have a song.
We do have a song. We bonded over mood swings.
Yeah. Shawty little baddie. She would sing that part, and then I'd always go, shawty little boo thing, like in a guy voice. And like it stuck. Now, like every time we're in the car, we put that on.
Mm-hmm. Every single time.
Every single time that song goes on.
So that's your memory from your freshman year, that song is like crucial.
Well, I actually thought Claire hated me freshman year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
During season?
Well, not during season.
Because I did.
During season, that wasn't about you. I was in a bad place.
No, well, I lived with DJ, G, and Lily, who were upperclassmen. Well, right. DJ and G were upperclassmen, and all the other freshmen lived over there. So sometimes it was COVID. We can't go out. So I would see from my window, like, all the freshmen leaving, like, not inviting me. But we didn't live together.
Yeah, it was my room was the four other freshmen.
Yeah.
And we would just leave together. And
yeah. I just look at you through the window.
That's so sad.
It's okay.
That's sad.
I went over to Tina's room, hung out with them, forced myself into their little group.
To be fair, we didn't do it intentionally.
It's okay.
You were in our room a lot anyways.
Yeah. Well, junior year, we got really close.
Yeah, we shared an actual bedroom.
Yeah.
And a cat, basically.
And a cat. Pop-Tart. I'm like the stepmom.
Cute. Yeah. Well, it's amazing that you all could be there for each other throughout the 4 years, because every single athlete, every single college student goes through something throughout 4 years, if not many things. And so to see you all as like grown women now, it's really cool, because obviously when we played together, you all were just little baby freshmen that were, you know, figuring things out. Now you're grown women crushing it. I'm so proud of it. It's proud to know you too. So we're going to move on to our favorite segment, Softballers Anonymous. If you want to submit your anonymous wild stories, please head to our link tree. You can find that in our Instagram bio or X bio. Click on that link. You'll find the Softballers Anonymous. Click on that and submit your wildest stories. And we have a wild one today. So this comes and it says, we used to do this thing called icing all throughout travel, but oh, I guess this is not anonymous, so hold on. But our head coach would have us stay 4 per hotel room during tourneys, very college-like. It's very college-like. And no one was safe. We used to pick locks with quarters and do icing, which is getting a bucket full of ice and pouring it on you during your shower. One time, this person had a bucket of ice with her, and when we snuck in to ice her, she threw ice back on her. What?
I was out of the shower.
So I'm going to read that again because I'm confused. One time, X person had a bucket of ice with her. And when we snuck in to ice her, she threw ice back on her. Maybe she meant on them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know who this is.
Yeah. So actually, this one's not anonymous. It's Kelly. Yeah. So I'll read that one more time. One time, Kelly had a bucket of ice with her, and when we snuck in to ice her, she threw ice back on us. We have so many stories from the Gold Coast days, and we had a panting phase too, ? And then she said, you have any similar experiences?
Yeah, we did have a panting phase. Shout out Lindsay Garcia. I mean, I guess this is not anonymous. It's just a fun story, but she's at Clemson right now. Gosh, me and her in a room together, that's bad, but yeah, we had a pantsing phase. It didn't matter where you were, Walmart, you know, out. You had to make sure your pants were tied because they were going to be around your ankle real fast.
But yeah, icing yeah. was...
That's hilarious that you guys would pick locks. And it's cool that you could stay four people to a room.
Yeah.
And so travel ball.
Our coach didn't let us actually stay with our parents. It was very business-like and travel ball. So
we did that
I
too.
Like that. I mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, so we did four per room. And yeah, even if the door was locked, we figured out a way for all hotel rooms to pick the lock with a quarter. Yeah, you'd go in with a bucket of ice and like everyone got ice. Unless there were some girls on the team who like were like, yo, chill out with that. Like, right. I don't want you to see me naked.
Fair. But like, so fair.
So too. Fair. But yeah, for the most part, you were getting ice. And that day I did have a bucket of ice with me. And when they came in and opened the shower curtain to throw ice on me, I just threw it right back.
Were you like hiding and preparing for them?
I was preparing. I was waiting for the moment they were coming in.
I love that, like, because it's very college-like and business-like, but you also have, like, a blast with each other, I bet.
Yeah.
Were y'all here when I think Jazz put the car, Coach Young's car.
I thought it was Jameson, right?
I think we heard about
Jameson, oh. Rachel, maybe?
Yeah. We all heard a different person.
Well, someone on our team, Texas, I'm sure they'll be like, that was me. But I think it was Rachel, too. I feel like Jameson and Rachel probably make
the masterminds behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They put Coach Young's car in the batting cage. And then you all weren't here for this, but Coach Young then played a prank on Jazz and she put her in the dugout. This is so funny, actually. Coach Young is a dog with the pranks.
Yes.
She put Jazz in the dugout. And she's like, you messed up somehow, like, because Jazz had pranked her or something. She goes, you messed up somehow, so you're going to watch the whole team run. And Jazz is like, okay, like, really sad and, like, slumped her shoulders. And as we start to run, someone came from the top of the dugout and poured ice water on Jazz's head. So Coach Young was like, gotcha.
Well, pranks have been a thing throughout the years here because remember when we hot dogged Coach's yard, actually?
Bloomer's yard.
What's up? Actually, we have a special guest.
Oh, come in.
Come on in.
Come on in on the pod.
Come on in. Come on in. I don't know where you're going to sit, but
this is Layla. Here we go.
There we go. So this is Layla. Layla. Oh, my gosh. How are you, girl? I haven't seen you in ages.
Good.
Yeah. Oh. So Layla... Yeah, Layla is Coach Young's daughter. We were just talking about how Coach Young pranked Jazz with the ice water. Coach Young, your mother. Mm-hmm. So Layla, actually, while you're here, we'll keep it short. I know you're probably busy. You are headed to Florida next year.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be going into college and leaving high school? Like, what are your emotions like right now?
I guess I would just say that I'm excited to, like, start something new.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been committed for a long time, so I'm, like, ready to go to college and just, like, compete with, like, the best. Yeah. I'm excited.
That's amazing. And how has it been to see your mom build this program from like nothing to where it is now? Or like, did you expect this at all as a young kid? Or,
I would say no. Like, I didn't expect that at all. But I think she's done a really good job with like everything that she had to do, from literally building the field to like getting you guys ranked in the top five. Yeah. So that's just really impressive. And like, I see her work hard every day, and that she does a good job with it.
Yeah, and she did a great job raising you and your siblings, because you guys have always been, like, the coolest kids. And now I can't even say kids. Like, you're an adult. You're an adult, and we are rooting for you so much at Florida and can't wait to watch you ball out. Wish you were coming to Duke, but we'll be okay with the Gators for now. Well, Layla, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Layla.
Didn't expect that, did you? So that was Layla Lamar, amazing student athlete, amazing human being, the daughter of head coach Marissa Young here. But speaking of head coach Marissa Young, you all had done a hot dog prank at her house. So can you give me the scoop on that?
Yeah. So it was Coach Young, Bloomer, and Brock, right?
I don't think we went to Brock's. It was just the two of them.
Yeah,
we went to both their houses.
So it was a double blindsided prank, though. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so... So the underclassmen, which was us at the time...
We were sophomores. So it was like Anna, Taylor, Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Jada.
Yes.
So those are the freshmen at the time. And they did not know that Coach was in on the prank.
Right.
Okay, so we hot dog the yard and coach comes out. So what hot dog means is like we literally put hot dogs on a stick and put the stick in the ground. Just millions of hot dogs in her front yard.
All over the yard.
All over the yard.
It's a beautiful front yard, by the way,
yes,
too.
It is.
And she comes out while we're doing this and just starts screaming and reaming like, you guys are going to have to run. And like you see like Frankie and Jade are like really picking up the hot dogs really fast. And like, come
running
on,
through
guys.
The yard. They're like, get out. We have to go pick them all up.
Yes. So were you all pranked too, the sophomores and freshmen, or who was in on it?
Some of the sophomores knew.
I didn't know. Oh, okay. I didn't know until after the fact.
I knew.
What was there? There was something else in the locker room or in here. We were all sitting in here and coach started yelling at the freshmen.
Yes.
And everyone was freaking out. And I knew that one was a prank and I was still scared.
She's so good.
She is so good.
She's scary good in those moments where she's like, that neck vein starts popping.
Yeah.
Like, watch out.
Yeah, watch out. Well, it's funny because that I remember my first year here, that idea had been brought up by somebody to do it, because I think coach had it done to her at Michigan or something when she played. So I'm glad to see that it worked, and it worked well. That's hilarious. But off the note of pranks, let's just dive right into the listener questions that we have for Claire. So a lot of you wrote in listener questions for Claire. We're just going to pick a few of them. This one comes from Outside the Shoot, which is another softball podcast. They do a really great job if you're interested in listening to them.
Shout out.
And they ask, what is your favorite uniform combo?
I would say either the all black or the pinstripes. The pinstripes fit the best. The black fits the best.
Yeah.
Look good, feel good,
the
play
grays.
Good.
Ugh.
You don't like the grays?
No.
We always end up wearing them on the hottest days. They show sweat. And they're just loose in weird places.
Yeah, they don't fit the best. But
interesting.
They look good, though.
And the pinstripes, I'd agree with you, just look the best on us.
Okay, so black pinstripes, I think that checks out. Pinstripes are always sick.
Always.
But honestly, the black uniforms, I can speak for the alums. We're kind of pissed that you guys got those before we could, because those are dirty.
Those are
so nice with the gothic letters.
Oh,
sick.
Yeah. Especially we got black Evo shields now. So yeah, it's
y'all,
like all
y'all,
black.
Well, and this is like, of course, back in the day, we didn't have any of that. Like, yeah, that's the goal. The goal is to keep elevating to where you have the personalized Evo shields and all this awesome stuff and something new coming to the stadium, which is really exciting.
Oh, so
and you
exciting.
Are so deserving of it. You're deserving of these amazing advancements. And so is Coach Young.
It was actually kind of funny, though, because we played FSU and they were wearing their retro jerseys for one of the days.
Yeah.
And in the bus, we were like, we're wearing the retro jerseys that are going to be worn in, how knows, like 30 years from now. So it was kind of funny how we were like, we're wearing what is going to be considered retro.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, it's crazy. The jersey that I got my senior day, the one they like put up, was the quickest retired jersey that we've ever had. I think we wore it for 1 year, and they were like, this is not it. Yeah. So that's the ones we got, which is fine.
Those white ones?
Yeah, white with the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never wore those.
Never.
Yeah. Well, either way, a ton of uniform combos that all look really great. But next question comes from Connor James, and he asks, who do you look up to?
Who do I look up to? I would say both of my parents in different ways. My mom is an aerospace engineer, so she's pushed through barriers. She's one of the only women in her career path, and she's done a great job. She works for the Navy, and she's just done everything she set her mind to. Super impressive. And my dad, also the same thing. He is the president of a company that does nonprofit organizations for college students to do robotic competitions.
Wow.
And so he gets to travel all over the world, and I've seen him just go and make friends with every single person he meets. It's super impressive.
That's amazing. And then our final listener question comes from Brooklyn Marquez. And she's asked a ton of really good ones. But what's a good mental approach if you're struggling with self-doubt?
Reading a lot of books has helped me. I know we talked about how I like reading, but the mental game books. I remember my freshman year, Peyton gave me a book called You Are a Badass. I actually just gave it to Sophie. To
Aww,
pass it down.
That's cute.
I know. It really helped me. And I also just think like remembering to have fun. I know we talked about this earlier, but like just reminding yourself why you love the sport. Self-doubt is super easy. This is a game of failure. You're going to fail sometimes, but remembering like the good outweighs the bad, and it's such a fun game, and the results will come.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final question, this is not coming from a listener, this is coming from me, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but what are the things that you think you'll miss most as a senior?
I think just spending time with the team. We spend so much time together. The sophomores especially are so funny. There's like an endless supply of laughs, and just getting to travel together, make memories together, and just compete and have each other's back every single day.
Well, hopefully we can continue playing together.
Yeah.
For a long time. Yeah.
Yes. Well, she wants to also go to Europe.
I would love to play in Europe.
So if you're seeing this, like we're saying this right now, Claire and I are going to Germany June 2024.
Yeah. Or Europe. You're going to play in Europe. You're going to
play. Any European coaches are watching.
Please
reach out.
If any of you are interested in having these two play, email us at softballspeakeasy@gmail.com. And you could also use that email to submit listener questions, feedback, whatever you'd like. Well, Claire Davidson, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. It means the world to Kelly and I. It's been amazing to see you and Kelly's journey throughout your career. You're an amazing woman. And the best is yet to come. Best is absolutely yet to come. And what are your Instagram, Twitter handles? Do you want to mention your Instagram handle?
@Claire7Davidson, I think, for both.
Yeah, if anyone, NIL deals, shoot them her way. Claire7Davidson, you're going to be competing with Spark. But other than that, you know, you're open to deals?
Yeah, I'm open. As long as they don't require video.
Well, thank you all so much for watching, listening, viewing, and subscribing. New episodes come out every single Wednesday. And please follow us at SB Speakeasy on all platforms. And as always, if you're feeling kind, please rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. That would mean the absolute world to us. But without further ado, we will see you next week on the show.